speak out a little bit more raid. We don't speak out halacha, but raid regarding the sugis of Perakei Mamidin. So really the last festa inyan that's in Perakei Mamidin is the sugya of Chol of Yisrael, Chol of Akum, Chol of Stam, Chol of Companies. So just a little bit of a background as it relates to this sugya. So again, this is not a halachic platform. It's a Dafyoimi / raid platform. So in that context and in that vein, you know, we learn through the Gemaras and really all the Gemaras or most of the Gemaras that touch upon the sugya of Chol of Yisrael are right here. They were in the Dafyoimi last week. So just go through a little bit of the Inyanim to have a little bit of appreciation. So when you learn the sugya of Chol of Akum, really it begins with a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hei Yomid Beis. The Mishnah said, Ve'elu dvarim shalayv dekechavim asurin, ve'eni surin isra anah. The following are dvarim shalayv dekechavim, which are aser, however, they're only aser b'achila, or aser b'shtiya, ve'eni surim b'ano. However, they're not aser b'ano. And the first thing that the Mishnah says is, cholav shechovay oivit kechavim ve'en yisrael reyeyu. If a guy in oivit kechavim milks a cow, ve'en yisrael reyeyu, and there's no yid that saw the guy milk the cow, the halacha is, it's asurin. However, ve'en yisrael isra'ana. And the Gemara right away says, cholav v'may nechashla, why? Why should cholav be aser? So, little bit of a shakla v'taya, and at the end, what the Gemara says is, the chashash is, we're concerned that maybe the guy took a little bit of cholav from a behemah tmeya, and he was ma'arivit with the cholav of the cow, meaning milk of a cow was kosher. And from that standpoint, there's no reason that if a guy milks a cow, it should pose any problems in halacha. The problem is that milk of a non-kosher animal is non-kosher. And being that non-Jews eat non-kosher food, it's possible that they milked the animal. The guy may have milked the chazer, milked the dog, and been ma'ariv some of that milk together with the kosher milk. So if a yid didn't see the guy milking the cow, the Mishnah says, asurin ve'en yisurin isra'ano, and the reason is because there's a chashash that there might be in it a taroivis of chol of tamid. Now, it's just interesting to note that we spoke a whole week learning about bishul akum, pas akum, pas palter, shemen akum, stam yenon, and there, those isurim, with the exception of Bishul, were from the Yud Ches Dvarim. So these were from the Takana of the Yud Ches Dvarim, Kisharobu Tamid B'Shamim B'Tamid B'Sil, where the Gemara says that Afil Elyo Beis Dina, even if they would come and they would try to uproot it, they wouldn't have an ability to uproot it. And the Yud Ches Dvarim has a special Chumr in Halacha, and it really permeates a lot of the things that we're not allowed to do because of their association with the Goyim. And the primary reason that the Chachamim instituted the Yud Ches Dvarim was Mishum Chasnos. We don't want that we shouldn't socialize with them, lest that lead to intermarriage. Cholav has nothing to do with Yud Ches Dvar. Cholav, the Gemara doesn't say, it's not Daniel Ubez Dinoy. It was a simple, practical shash. They were worried that maybe the guy was ma'arav a little bit of Cholav Tameh in together with this kosher milk, and it's for that reason, it's Asher. That was the first mission. The second Mishnah was the Mishnah Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis. And that mission discussed the Elu Mutar Machila. So there was a list on Chof Tes Amid Beis of Dvarim Shalev Tichavim that are Asher, and even Asabana. Then there's the list on Daflan, Hey Yom Adbeis, they're only Asabachil, they're not Asabana. Then there was the third list. The third list was Ve'elu Mutarim Bachil. And the first thing that the Mishnah says is Cholav Shechol Ve'evi Kechavim V'Yisro Reyeh. If a guy milks a cow, and a yid was watching the guy milk the cow, there the halacha is, it's going to be mutter. Meaning not all Cholav Shechol Ve'akum is also. Cholav Shechol Ve'akum Ve'en Yisro Reyeh. That's the Mishnah, V'Dazar Lam and Hey Yom Adbeis, that Cholav is also. Over there, it's mut. And what's the reason? Pashit, the reason is very simple. Because the whole reason Cholav Shechol Ve'akum is aser is because there's a chash that there might be in it a taroivus of Cholav from a Be'em et Me'er. So if a Yid didn't see, so you have to be chayish, you have to suspect. But to the extent that a Yid saw, there's nothing to be concerned. He saw. So if he saw, you have a mashkiach, there's nothing to worry about. In that case, it's going to be more. To stating that, there's a very important Gemara, and a Gemara that's to die for us to learn together inside. Tanino, Lahadu Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara says that this Mishnah is very bekitzer. It supports something that's in a braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, Yoishiv Yisrael B'tzad Edu Shalevi Kechavim. A Yid could sit next to the Eder of an Oivet Kechavim, where the Oivet Kechavim has his animals, the guy can milk the cow for him and bring it for him. He doesn't have to worry. Now, Rashi explains. We're talking about a Yid who's sitting beside Eder Shel Oivet Kechavim, but he can't physically see the guy milking the cow. If he could see the guy milking the cow, that's the mission. When he can't see the guy milking the cow, still, it's okay. As long as he's sitting next to him, that's going to be enough. But the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hey, Chidon, what's going on over here? Are we talking about an Eder where there's no animal that's Tameh? Pshita. it's poshut that it should be okay. And if we're talking about an eder that hasn't in animals that are tame, am I? Why is it okay? If the yid can't see it, just because he's sitting in front, that's enough that it should be okay. It's talking about where there was a davar tame. And if the yid would stand, he'd be able to see. But when he's sitting, he can't see. Being that when he's sitting, and he's sitting right now, he can't see it. We should be concerned. Maybe he's going to bring chol of tame, and he's going to mix it, because there is a behemoth tmeya in the eder. So he doesn't know for sure. Or Kamash Malon, Kiva the Kikoi Chazile, mean that if he was standing, he would be able to see. Irsusi Mirsas, the magic words, it creates a fear in the Oivikai Chavim, Veloy Ma'ariv Bey, and we can be comfortable that there's no way in the world that he was going to be Ma'ariv. So at first glance, we have two Mishnahs and a Braisa. The first Mishnah is Chalav Shechol Vayakim Ven Yisro Re'eyo. What's the halacha? It's from the dvarim that are surim, the ini surim nisra ana. Chol of lemay neichesh lafreik the gemara. We're concerned there might be in it a taruvus of chol of tameh. There's another mishnah lametes amid beis. Chol of shechol ve'akum v'yisrael royeh. Over there it's mutter because there is no chash taruvus of a chol of a behemet meyah as a result of the mutter. And then there's a brayso. The brayso says that the yid actually doesn't have to physically see the guy milking the cow. But yoshev yisrael betzad edrei shaloi v'kechavim v'oyve kechavim chol of loy. As long as he's sitting there, even though he can't see it, that's enough. And the Gemara said the Brice is talking about where there's a behemoth mayor in the Eder. So technically, there's a clear and present danger. Still, you don't have to worry about it. The reason is because being that the guy knows the yid's there and he's watching to make sure that there's no chol of a behemoth mayor inside this milk, that's enough to make us comfortable for everything to be okay. Now, the Gemara, when it discussed this braisa, so the Gemara wasn't sure what the case of the braisa was. The yid is sitting beside edrei shelo v'kechavim. The guy can milk it, even though he can't see any chayshus. And the Gemara said, "Eid like a davar tami be'edrei." If the braisa is talking about where there was no behemoth tmeya at all in the eder, so the Gemara said pshita, then it should be pashut. The Mardchai, the Beis Yosef brings the Mardchai, says that yesh meichichin. There were people that wanted to bring a raya from here. That the only time you need that a yisrael should even be yoshev b'tzad edrei shalevi kechavim. The only time you ever need a yid to be involved in a guy milking a cow, that's only if there was a behemoth tmeya in the eder. But if there was no behemoth tmeya anywhere in the eder, chalav akum is mutter. You have nothing to worry about. Why? Because that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, "Hey chidami, ida leka davar tami be'edrei pshita." It sounds like if there's a no davar tami in the eder, there's nothing to worry about. Meaning the whole braiso that you need a Yisrael to at least be Yosef beside Edra Shalev Kechavim. Where Kamash Malon or Susi Mirsa said, even though he doesn't see it, it's going to be okay. But that all starts. It has the pretense that there's a behemoth tmeya in the Eder. But to the extent there's no behemoth tmeya in the Eder, the Gemara said pshita. It sounds like it's not going to be an issue as well. But says the Mardchai, it's a toyes gadol. They made a mistake, those Yesh Meichichen. Because not only does the braiso not support that opinion, the braisa state punk fakert. Because what did the braisa say? The Gemara said, "E the lekker dover tami be'edroi pshita." What does pshita mean? It's poshut halacha the braisa. It's poshut that if Yisrael is yoshev b'tzad eder, then it's going to be okay. If it's true that if there's no behemoth may in the eder, you don't need Yisrael to be yoshev b'tzad edroi at all, then the Gemara should ask the masbera kasha. The Gemara should have said, "E the lekker behemoth meyo. Why do you need a yid to be sitting there?" It's poshut. That's not what the braisa means. The braisa didn't say that. The Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said, "Ida leka behemet meya b'toich edroi pshita." Pshita meaning avadi, you need a yid to be there. So says the Mardchai, and he says the kemotzasi b'rabenu peretz, that the halacha is that if a guy is milking a cow, even if there's no behemet meya b'toich edroi, if there was no yisrael that was yoshev beside edroi, there was no ursusi mirsas, the halacha is that the cholov is going to be aser. And what's the raya? That raya. This gemara right here on Lamed Tes on the base. Then it says that the Sharei Dura. So the Sharei Dura was a Talmud of the Meram in Rotenberg. And the Sharei Dura brings as follows. Cholav shechol v'goy. Milk that was milked by a guy. Ve'en yisrael re'eyu. And there was no yid watching. And again, what does it mean there was no yid watching? He didn't see the chaliva, or he wasn't even bitzad edroi to create irsusi mirsas. Afilu ein behemet tmei b'dir. Even if there's no behemet tmei in the deer, aser. Why? And says the Sharidura, you know who says this? Kach Kosav Rashi. It comes from Rashi. Rashi HaKadosh, he's the one that said this halacha. The Psak halacha of the Mardchai. So you have a Mardchai, B'kach Kos Rabbeinu Peretz. You have a Sharidur, and he says, Kach Kos of Rashi, that this halacha, that Chol of Akum is also, is true, even if we know for sure that there's no Behemet Tmeya in the deer. So even if there's no Behemet Tmeya in the deer, still the halacha is going to be that if there was no Yisroel Reyeu, Mishnah, Avodazor, Lamed Heim, and Beis, it's going to be Osir. The only time it's going to be mutter is if Yisrael either sees the actual chaliva or, like the Brisa says, he's Yoshe B'tzad Edroi, he creates a scenario of Irsusi Mitzvah. Stating that, the Pri Chodosh in Simin Kuf Tezvav wrote a very, very, very famous commentary on this Shitas HaMardchai, on this Shitas Rashi that's brought in the Sharidura. And the Pri Chodosh said as follows. He said, that's Poshet, that even though the Mardchai Kachos Rabbeinu Peretz and the Sharidura, Kachos of Rashi, said that the halacha is that even if there's no behemet tmei in the deer, you need Yisro Reyeu. That's only true if there's at least a behemet tmei somewhere in the shtetl, where there's some realm of possibility that maybe the guy would have taken a little bit of chol of tamei and he would have been ma'arivit together with the milk of the cow. But let's say you had a hechetimtza where there's absolutely positively no chash in the world. There's no way, there's no realm of possibility that maybe a guy could have been ma'ariv a little bit of challah from a behemet tmeya. Over there said that the chadash, it's poshet ledina, that it's going to be okay. In other words, the chiddush of the Mardchai, the kachos of Rabbeinu Peretz, and of the Sharidur, the kachos of Rashi, is that even though there's no behemet tmeya in the deer, but there's still a chash. The chash is maybe the guy took milk from somewhere else. Maybe he brought it from a different eder, from a different deer. It's a reasonable chash. So fashnetzi, you have to be concerned. It's a little more far-fetched, but it's reasonable. And that's what he was saying. You have to think sometimes the unthinkable. You even have to be chayish for that. But let's say there is no unthinkable. There's nothing to think because there's no behemet tmeya in the deer at all. Even over there said the Pri Chodesh, it's going to be poshet, that the halacha is going to be that it's going to be mutter. And the emes is that the Pri Chodesh was saying a lumdus. And there's a tifkai to what the Pri Chodesh was saying. And that is as follows. And this is important in understanding, you know, the punchline of everything we're going to get to. And that is that there's certain takanas that the Chachamim made which were unequivocally imposed. Meaning, it's what we know as they were made with Avash of the Minyan based on the Gemara in Be'ed Daf Hei, where the Chachamim said that we're going to impose a takana. We're imposing it for a certain reason. But I don't care about the reason. The bottom line is, now that we impose this takana, it's always going to be awesome. A classic example of that is Gvina. Gvina's Akum, which is a separate sugya from Chol of Akum. Gvina's Akum, which is Aser. Over there, the Chachamim said that Gvina's Akum is always going to be Aser. It's a Dove Shebet Minyan, and even though the Gemara comes out, Pashtis, the reason Gvina's Akum is Aser, Nation Amid, the Noise of a Kevish on the Veil, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that today, which the Ibn Kavim don't use Kevish on the Veil, let's say they use certain grasses and herbs, things that are kosher, doesn't matter, it's still going to be Aser. Because even though the whole Takon of Gvina's Akum was because of a Chash Kevish on the Veil, it doesn't matter. Halacha L'maisa, they made the Takon, it's a Dove Shebet Minyan, it's automatically, unequivocally going to be awesome. That was the takon of Gvina. Then you find takonas that the Chachamim made that really zilbas a taima. And a classic example, something we learned together last week, is Murius. Murius was a certain fish tafshel, where Murius, the Chachamim said, was Aser. It was in the first Mishnah. Elu Dvarim that Asurim, the Asurim Misra Ano, according to Rameir. So Murius is very, very chomer. Stating that, the Gemara told a story. There was a ship of Muriusa that came to the port of Akko. And Rav Abba said, watch the ship, make sure they're not Ma'ar of any Yayin. So Rava was there. What was Rava doing in Akko? Yaakov Emden says, you see that all the big prodigies in Babel used to go to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a little time. But either way, Rav is in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, Adu Idna Man Notra. He said, who was watching the fish until now? So Rabbi Abba said, I'm not worried about it till now. He says, the Mayne Cheshla. Are you worried they may have mixed a little bit of wine? It's not a real chash. He says, wine is expensive where this Murius comes from. Why would they do it? It's silly. It's insane. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. And Rabbi Abba Paskin, that even though Murius is Osir, but it's all because of a chash, there might be a Tarevis of Yain. Now there's no chash. There's no Tarevis of Yain. As a result, Abba Paskin, it's going to be okay. Now, obviously, said the Pri Chodesh, Murius wasn't a Davar Sheva Minyan. Because if Murius was like Vina, it was a Davar Sheva Minyan. Who cares you don't have a chash? You could have 500 svaras. Today, there's no reason Gvina's Akim should be Aser. They're not using Kebish on the Veil, but the Chachamim said Gvina's Akim is Aser. So you see, there's two types of takanas. There's a takana of Gvina, where Gvina is a Davar Sheva Minyan. It could be Batal Atam, Loi Batar Ha'Isser. The Isser is something that's Chai V'Kayim L'Doyrei Doyres. It's always going to be Aser. And then you have something like Murius. Murius, which is only Aser to the extent there's a real chash. But if there's no chash, such as in that famous boat of Morius that came to the port of Akko, Abba Paskin, based on a cheshbon that he made, that the Oyvle Kechama would have been financially disincentivized from being Ma'ar of Yain. He was comfortable with that. That was enough for him to say that Morius is not going to be a problem. So said the Bri Chadash, it's pasha to me that Cholov falls under the category of Morius, not under the category of Gvina. And he says the whole sugya shrives that. He says, because you see that the level of oversight you have to have for Cholov really depends on how much of a chash there is. If ain Yisrael Reyeyu, it's Aser. If Yisrael Reyeyu, then it becomes Mutas. You see, Cholov didn't just become Aser because it depends on Yisrael Reyeyu and Yisrael Reyeyu. And if he's sitting and he's not sitting and there's a Dover Tameh or there's no Dover Tameh, all these subtleties and Se'ifei Katan all make sense in a Morius world. In a world where the Iser is not a Dover Shevet Minyan. But to the extent that the Iser is a Dover Shevet Minyan, so Zok the Pri Chadash, it's Pashit, that Cholov was never a Dover Shevet Minyan. Cholov was only and if that's the case, where there's no chash in the world, that there's a taroivis of cholov tame inside this cholov akum, it's going to be mutter. I the Mordechai, the kachos Rebbeinu Peretz, I the Shai Yudu, the kachos of Rashi, they were talking about where there is no chashash at all. Where there is a chash. Where maybe, even though in the Eder itself, there was no behemoth Tameria, but maybe the guy brought it from someplace else, maybe he took it from there, maybe he had it in the pail, maybe he started milking it, you never know where it was. The bottom line is, therefore, these Rishayim held, you have to be chayish. And Enochanami, Pri Chodesh said, Avadi, you have to be chayish. But to the extent that there's no chash at all, it's not going to be a problem. Then the Pri Chodesh for Zeus, he says, Aklav, bottom line, Ha'oil, that Be'ir Shaloi Nitzah Sham Chalav Tameh. If you live in a city, that there's no Chalav Tameh. Oi, Shehi Yoyse Be'yoyke Mi Chalav Tameh. Or there is Chalav Tameh, but it's more expensive then Cholav Tahar, like in the case of Morius. Mutter liknais mea akum, Cholav shechovei beloi rias Yisrael klal. It would be mutter to buy Cholav akum, even though no yid ever saw it. Vechei matzasi aminik pashit poi Amsterdam. He said, I've seen the Pri Chodesh in Amsterdam. Pri Chodesh didn't live in Amsterdam, but when he was in Amsterdam, he saw that they used to eat that type of Cholav akum. Vechei nohakti ani gamkein. I did the same thing. Gam zulas ktsas yichidah and azar. He said, there were yichidim that were machmer, but other than the yichidim that were machmer, says the Pri Chodesh, I myself felt that to the extent that there's no Behemet Tmeya at all, or it's more expensive than the Chol of a Behemet Tmeya, in that case, it's going to be okay. But it's Yodua, that the Chassam Sofer in a Tshuva, it's in Yerideya, Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Kuv Zayin. He was asked the Shaila as well. He was asked the Shaila by a Talmud, and the Talmud wanted to know whether or not, I'll read it to you inside, B'mokoyim uzman she'ein Behemet Tmeya haruyo lachloiv matzu b'neyem. Times like today, Chassam Sofer was writing, where it's rare that you'll ever find Cholav of Behemet Tmeya, even the Ovdei Kechavim are malus, they find it disgusting. Is there still going to be an Isser Cholav Akum, or is there not going to be an Isser Cholav Akum? Zok the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to answer the Kasha. But really, in order to answer the Kasha, I'm going to take one tiny step backwards. And that is, we mentioned the Shita Samordchai V'Kachkos Rabbeinu Peretz. And the Shari Yidur V'Kachkos of Rashi. If you look in the Achroinim, everyone mutches, who's this Rashi? Kachkos of Rashi? Where is this Rashi? And the Chassam Sofer himself says, Ulai B'Tshuva. Maybe it's in a tshuva somewhere. Maybe Rashi wrote a tshuva. We don't have this tshuva. But where did Rashi ever say that the halacha of cholav shechov yakum the ein yisro reyeyu is going to be true even if there's no behemet tmeya inside the deer? Says the Chassam Sofer, it's pasha where this Rashi is. And you know this Rashi is? It's right in front of us. We're looking it in the eye. And the Chassam Sofer says that after I tell you my beer in Rashi, he fears this with a lashon kol ayin roya. Every ayin roya yovin shezeh das Rashi b'mesek l'shoinoi. What's this Rashi? The Gemara, right in the beginning of the sugya of Gvinas Akum, of Vidazar Daflam and Hamid Beis. So the Gemara says, why is Gvinas Akum asa? Now, by the way, just as an aside, so no one should get confused, Gvinas Akum is also, if Cholav Akum is also, why should Gvinas Akum not be asa? It's because of a Metzias. The Metzias is that only Cholav of a Behemet Tahira can turn into cheese. But Cholav of a Behemet Tmeya cannot become cheese. So to the extent that it's Gvina, you know it's not a Behemet Tmeya. And the whole Shash Cholav is only if there's a Shash Behemet Tmeya. So the point is that there's no Isser Cholav, it's a Nukhshash. So if it's a Nukhshash, why is it Asa? And the Gemara gave five or six Pshatim, why is it that Gvinas Akum is Asa? The first Pshat that the Gemara said was Mishum Nikor. We're worried that maybe the cheese, while it was milk, a Nachash came, and it was Matal Eres inside the milk. Or maybe even after it was formed as cheese, while it was moist, based on the Mishnah in Trumas, while it was moist, is a chash giloy even with certain foods. So maybe the snake went and took a bite out of the cheese, and it was matal, a little bit of eris. But the Gemara says that can't be true. It's not a possibility, because we know that anything that a nochash is matal eris into can harden. So if I have a hard piece of cheese, at that point, the chash megulin, the chash giloy, nikur, is no longer applicable. So frek the Gemara, so if that's the case, why isn't it aser? Zok the Gemara, you want, no, it's aser. Amrab chanina, lefishi, efshaloy, beloit tzichtzuche chalav. The reason it's aser, because it's not possible that there's no tzichtzuche chalav. And there's a big machlik, is Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, had to understand Pashup Shan in this Gemara. And this Gemara right here played a tremendous role in a lot of the halacha lemaisa as it relates to this subject. And that is, Rashi understood, means as follows. It's true. When you make cheese, it's obvious then that the milk that was used was kosher milk, because non-kosher milk can turn into cheese. But at the same time, the metzius is that when you make cheese, not all the milk turns into cheese. And there's always going to be a little bit of milk, the whey, that's not going to turn into cheese. That milk may have in it a little bit of chalav tameh. What are you going to tell me? It's pashut, there's no chalav tameh? How do I know? Because otherwise it wouldn't have been cheese. That's true, but there's a little bit of milk that didn't turn into cheese. So maybe that chelukit has in it a little bit of chalav tameh. If that chelukit has in it a little bit of tameh, you have to be chayish for chalav tameh. So it says Rash, you want to know why kvinas akam is aser. The Gemara thought it was related to giloy. The Gemara asked the kasha, once it's dry, there can't be eris anymore. Says the Gemara, Amar Rab Chanina, and really it should say, Elo Amar Rab Chanina. Rab Chanina says, you're right, a whole new pshat. You kvinas akam is aser, because every kvina, there's a chash chalav akam. I thought kvinas akam is going to do a chalav akam, because to the extent it turned into cheese, we know for sure there was no chalav tameh. That would be true, time is Rab Chanina, if all the milk would turn into cheese. But being that there's a little bit of milk that doesn't turn into cheese, you have to be concerned for that little bit of milk. And that little bit of milk might be in the tzuchim. There might be a little bit in the cheese. When you eat the cheese, you may take a little bit of that milk inside with you. And it's for that reason that it's going to be an aser. Tosfos says, v'kosh. I don't understand. First he asks a pshat Gemara and Rashi, but then he asks a famous kasha. V'oid, da'atu michai shinun da'ivik kechavim shaitahava? Are we worried about an ivik kechavim that's a fool? She'iru b'chol of tameh? Afa pisha hu yoidea she'ina yoimeid? We're talking about a guy that was making cheese. He knew the chol of tameh can't become cheese. So why would he put chol of tameh? The whole reason why chol of akum is also because you're concerned maybe there's a tarovus of chol of tameh. So if you have a guy who's making cheese, and you know for sure that the chalav tummy won't turn into cheese, so why would he put chalav? There's only one possibility. He's a fool. He's a shaita. So, freik toisviz, michai shinon, doivik kechavim, shaita hava, she'iru bei chalav tummy, lekach pir shabbeinu tam, Rabbeinu Tam said a whole different shot. We're not worried that there might be chalav akum inside the tzichtzuchim. What we're worried about is there might be eris inside the tzichtzuchim. It's not Elo Amar Rab Chanina. He's going back with the original pshat of Giloy. That's where Rabbeinu Tam learned the sugya. But the bottom line is, Rabbeinu Tam asked the Festa Kasha and Rashi. He said, I don't understand. Why you, Rashi? How could you tell me? The Rab Chanina is saying that Kvinas Akam is also because you're worried about a little bit of Cholav. That Cholav for sure is mutter. Why? Because the whole reason Cholav Akam is ever also because there's a chash, there might be a teroivis of Cholav Tameh. This guy knew he was making cheese. So if he knew he was making cheese, then it's poshit that he never was ma'ar of Cholav Tameh. So why in the world should it be also? Says the Chsam Soifah. So what's Pshan Rashi? What did Rashi think? So, Chassam Soif, you know what Rashi thought? Rashi must have held that the Issachal of Akum was a Dovah Shebeminyan. And the Issachal of Akum is Osir automatically. And once the Chachamim said that Chol of Shechovay Akum Ein Yisrael Reyeyu was Osir, it is always going to be Osir. There's never going to be a time that it's not going to be Osir. And it's for that reason, and Chanam Rabbeinu Tam's Gerecht. Rabbeinu Tam, Taino, are we worried about a Shaita? No, we're not worried about a Shaita. I'm asking. That's not the point. The point is not that I think that this... The point is not that I think that the guy was actually Ma'arav Chalav. I don't think he was Ma'arav Chalav Tameh. He wasn't Ma'arav Chalav Tameh. He wasn't. But it doesn't matter. This Chalav, if this Chalav, it should be awesome. I, the Chassam Sofer, said, you can ask me a kasha, if that's the case, that all Chalav Akum, the Enyus Rol Reyu, is Aser, even if you know for sure there's no Taroivis. So why then is there a whole sugya about Gvinas Akum? It's partial Gvinas Akum should be Aser. Because Gvina was always Chalav. Bishloim, if the only time Chalav Akum is Asir is when there is a realm of possibility that maybe this Taruvus of Chalav Tameh. So by Gvina, ordinarily, you wouldn't have the Chashash. The only tzad is the Tzichtzuchim, which is Rav Chanina's Pshat, the way Rashi learned the Gemara. But if you're going to tell me that Chalav Akum is a Dov Hashem Minyan, and the Chasam Sofer felt that way very passionately, so if that's the case, what's the whole sugi of Gvina? So the Chasam Sofer said, you have to say that it's true. Chalav was a Dov Hashem Minyan, but it was only Kol Kametz Chalav. As long as it's Chalav, there's a Dov Hashem Minyan. But once the Chalav takes on a new form, it turns into Gvina, it's no longer Chalav anymore. At that point, time of the Chasam Sofer, it's no longer Chalav. If it's no longer Chalav, it's not going to be a problem. And the Nidin in this Gemara was the Tzichtzuch Chalav. How do you look at it? You look at it as Chalav, or do you look at it as Gvina? And that was the Shaila of Chanina held it was Chalav according to Rashi. We made a time argued. But in terms of the Yesoy, it says the Chasam Sofer, it's Zichwa Rashi meant. Zok the Chasam Sofer, it's Poshit. That's the Sharidur's Rashi. Sharidur had a Rashi that Rashi held that even if there's no behemoth me and the deer is still Chalav Akum, is going to be Osir. Time is developed. Where in the world did the Shari Dura get this? For Ulai B'tshuva. That's what the Achreinim say. Maybe it's a Rashi in a Tshuva. Zok Tachsam says not a Rashi in a Tshuva. It's a Rashi in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Heh, Amud Aleph. It's Pashut Adam Oid. That's what Rashi meant. Bottom line, if that's the case, we have a machloikis between Ashli Ravavri. We have the Prichadosh on the one hand, the Prichadosh in Yerideh, Kuf Tezvav, where the Prichadosh held that the whole sugi of Chalav Akum shries that it wasn't a Dov Hashem Minyan. So if it wasn't Dov Hashem Minyan, it's like Murius. So Kol Kecha, there's a real chash that maybe there's a Tarevus of Chalav Tameh, you have to be concerned about Chalav Tameh. But if there's no chash that there's a Tarevus of Chalav Tameh, you don't have to be concerned. I, the Martcha, and the Rabbeinu Peret, and the Sharidur, and Rashi, they were just talking about where there was no Chalav Tameh in the Eder. But there was Chalav Tameh in the city. He may have been incentivized to put Chalav Tameh over there. They held, you have to be Chayish. And they had a riot from the Brice, from the whole Gemara, Lama Tessam and Base. But if there's no Chash at all, it's Pashit, the Prichadosh held, it's not going to be a problem. And he said he saw the meeting in Amsterdam was that way. And by the way, the Prichadosh says that he saw the Radvaz as a Tshuva, with the Radvaz Paskin the same way. The Chasam Sofer, however, argued. The Chasam Sofer held that it was a Dov Hashem Minyan. And the Rashi that the Shari Dura brings is no other than a Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Lama Heman Aleph. And who are we to go connect a Rashi? And the bottom line is, it's Zichr Shitas Rashi, that it was a Dov Hashem Minyan and it's going to be Osir, even where there's no Behemoth Tmeya at all, it's viewed as Gvinas Akum, not as Murius. So even if the guy is maybe disincentivized financially, could come to you with 900 Cheshbonos, but at the end of the day, Cholov Akum, She'en Yisrael Re'eyu is going to be unequivocally, there's no ifs, buts, or whens, no questions asked, that are going to be Osir. It's interesting, by the way, the Chasam Sofer says that he saw the Prichadosh said that he saw in Amsterdam that there was such a minig, and he said it's Pashit that there was a Portuguese community that lived in Amsterdam. They were from the Anusim, from the Megarshe Sfarad, and he said they followed them in Hogam of the Radvaz, and it's Pashit, that's where they were going. They were going like the Radvaz. But he says, V'lei Silchas HaKavasi, not for us. We live in the Ashkenazi world, the Chasam Sofer said. We don't follow the Messiah of the Radvaz. We have Unzer Messiah, and the bottom line is, that relates to Unzer Rabbeim, it's a Mardchai, and it's Rabbeinu Peretz, it's Pashit, that's what Rashi meant that the Shari Dura brings. The Halach is, we're going to view it as a Dover Sheva Minyan. Now, interesting that the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Kuf Tes Vav wrote a very fire and brimstone piece in middle of discussing the halachas of Chalav Akum as it relates to bottom line. You have the Prichadosh on the one side and you have the Chasam Sofer on the other side. And he said, he came out based on the Yukim and Poiskim that the Ikka was like the Chasam Sofer. The Ikka wasn't like the Prichadosh. And he says, Hinei al-koponim nizbarer delefi das kol rabiseinu shehivanu afilu bimekoimis lo ishkiach klal dover tami be'ir ba'ofen she'en chshash l'taru v'scholof tami mikom mokim osir kisha yisrael lo yomad al-koponim ibachutz bishasa chaliva oy she'e yoytze v'nichnas. But something al-koponim would have to do. And then he writes, v'loy ke'echad migdo. And this is not like one of the Gdoyle Achroinim was very Meirich, Lahakil, Lishtois, Cholov, Sholahabamokim, Shein Sham Dover, Tome. And then forwarding, he says, when we see Bazu, Yesh Harbe, Mesparzim, Beinian Zebedeirenu, Bavainasin, or Rabbim. He says, there are many people that they're Noyig, like they're pirates gather when it comes to this. Kasheroinu, Vishamanu, Vitoilim, Es Atzman, Beize Talmud Chocham, Shaasakim. And everyone has a Meisola, they know someone that did it. Veloyadu, Veloyavino, they don't know. Shachamurim, Devray Seifim, Devray Torah. Talmud Chacham Shasa came. The Talmud Chacham that did that Yisa Avoyno Yisa. May Hashem forgive his avera. Vekivan shenifzak leiser betur v'shulchan aruch v'chol gedoli achroinim mi yuchal lahayis panav ulamayli tayves nafshay v'shoyim nafshay yirchach esatzman mizeh. So the Aruch Hashulchan, the grace of Poisek that everybody followed, tainid that it's poshutim that we're going to be machriya between the Prichadosh and the Chasam Sofer as it relates to halacha lemaisa. You have to follow. follow the Chasam Sofer, and then he brings a story, a Maisa Shahaya, Kachaya, where there was a Yid who used to travel, used to always, you know, drink milk, I guess probably with his coffee every morning, and he says that Pamachas, they found out that he was using Shuman Chazir, and he says it happened because this person went Kenega, this Takonis Chachamim, bottom line is that's the Hachra of the Aruch HaShulchan. Fast forward into the 1940s, 1950s, where in America, the Jewish community began picking up steam, and all the milk that people had available to them was really milk that you were going to buy from your local manufacturer in the United States. And that was Cholov, Shechov, Vayakum, the Ein Yisrael Re'eh. And the Shaila was sent to Hagoyim Ramosha Feinstein as the Morad Asra of all Jewry in the United States of America, really the whole world, but certainly in the United States. And they asked him, this Shaila, what's the bottom line? Can I put milk in my coffee or can I not? This Cholov, am I allowed to drink this milk or am I not allowed to drink this milk? Now, Pashit, you would approach it. You'd start with the Prichodosh and the Chasam Sofer. And then there's Daruch HaShulchan, v'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei. We're just speaking out literally a drop in the bucket. But Rav Moshe wrote earth-shattering tshuva. And Rav Moshe flipped the whole story. Rav Moshe said that once upon a time, there was a shayla of cholov, shechol v'yakum, v'in sori eyo. And there was a Mardchai, and there was a Rebbeinu Peretz, and a Sharidura, and a Rashi, and a Prichodosh, and a Radvaz, and a Chasam Sofer, v'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei. But today, if somebody buys a bottle of milk in his local supermarket in the United States of America, the chshash, this whole sugya, is completely non-relevant. And really, the crux of Rav Moshe's tshuva, if you go through the first tshuva, which is the Ikar tshuva, it's in Yerideh Rechel Galav Simen Mem Zayin, it's a Noshim Nezikin tshuva. And Rav Moshe said as follows, we know there's something called Anan Sahadi. Anan Sahadi means that if we have strong evidence that something would have played out a certain way, we can consider it as if we know for sure that it played out that way. Not just that, but it's as if we saw it actually play out that way. And he brings a raya from a Tosfos in Masechet Shavuos, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, with regards to Eidos Mamet. And he brings a raya from a Tosfos in Yevamos, Daf Mem Hei, I'm telling you, this is real Noshim Nezikin, regarding a Bezin that has to see a Ger Teufel. And one of his rayas that he brings is, we know that when it comes to Eidim, with regards to Arayas, the Gemara says, Achiyiru Kedera Chaminothim. The Eidei Arayas didn't have to see the physical act of the Tashmish, but as long as they saw them acting Kedera Chaminothim, that would be enough. Now that's posh, you can't give somebody Mises Bez without Ria. The Teretz is, Achiyiru Kedera Chaminothim created an Umdana, created circumstantial evidence that we know it happened. And if we know it happened, it's as if we saw it happen. In other words, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva, proving from all areas in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have an Anan Sahadi, if you have very, very strong circumstantial evidence, almost bulletproof evidence, that something happened, you can ascertain halachically that it happened, and not just that, it's as if you saw it happen. So said Rav Moshe, he did research, and he saw, and he was told that today, if a company that professes to be selling cholov of a cow were found to be selling something else, or there was even a tarovis of something else, they would have to pay ridiculous fines. They're governed by the USDA. They would risk losing their license, shareholder issues. They could be very, very big issues that these companies would have. As a result, irsuse mirsas. It's posh, like the Gemara says in Lamed Tes on the base. They're afraid. They're extremely disincentivized from going ahead and doing something like that. As a matter of fact, Rav Moshe said, it's as if there's an anan sahadi that there's no chol of tameh. If there's an anan sahadi that there's no chol of tameh, then it constitutes ria. So says Rav Moshe, milk in America today is not chol of shechol v'yakum v'ein yisro re'eyu. It's chol of shechol v'yakum v'yisro re'eyu. If it's chol of shechol v'yakum v'yisro re'eyu, it's poshut it's going to be mutter. Meaning, the whole shayl of chol of akum always started with a mishnah and avodah zarah daf lamed hayamid beis. Chol of shechol v'yakum v'ein yisro re'eyu. Is it going to be mutter? Is it going to be aser? Prichadosh, aridura, Rabbeinu Peretz, Radvaz, Chasam Sofer, all the marah mekoymes and the geshmak of festus sugi, the way it comes from the Gemara. It's beautiful. But that's all starting with the anocha that we're dealing with Cholav Shechol V'yakum V'en Yisro Re'eyu. Rav Moshe said today there was a game changer. Today you're not buying from a mom and pop. Today you're buying it from a corporation that has their susi mirsas. There's anan sahadi that they're afraid to be ma'ariv Cholav Tameh. If there's anan sahadi that they're not going to be ma'ariv Cholav Tameh, it's as if we saw them milk the cow and not be ma'ariv Cholav Tameh. If we saw them milk the cow and not be ma'ariv Cholav Tameh, then it's Cholav Shechol V'yakim Yisro Re'eyu. So Rav Moshe said, today's Cholav, what he referred to as Cholav companies, today's Cholav companies, what we refer to as Cholav Snam, is not the Mishnah with the Zohar Lamed Hei Amud Beis. It's the Mishnah with the Zohar Lamed Tes Amud Beis. It's not Cholav Shechol V'Yakim De'en Yisroel Re'eyu. It's Cholav Shechol V'Yakim Yisroel Re'eyu. In other words, it's Cholav Yisroel. Rav Moshe held that Chol of Stam is Chol of Yisrael. What's the definition of Chol of Yisrael? The definition of Chol Yisrael is Chol of Shechol Vayakim Yisrael Riyeh. If a guy milks the cow and the Yid sees it, it's Chol of Yisrael. You can't argue that, it's a Mishnah. Chol of Shechol Vayakim Yisrael Riyeh. That is the definition. As a matter of fact, even if he doesn't see it, as long as there's a Mirsas, that is the definition of Chol of Yisrael. Said Rav Moshe, Chol of companies Bibedino Seinu is Chol of Yisrael. If it's Chol of Yisrael, it's Pashat, it's going to be Mutin. Everyone knows this Jew from Moshe. When not everybody knows, is that Chazon Ish said the same exact thing that Rav Moshe said. Chazon Ish said it Bekitzur L'Shoinoi, it's in Simin Mem Aleph in Yerudea, and the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said it more in the context of the Sugya V'omnam B'sheyesh Pikuach HaMemshola Al HaCholav. If the government has governance over the Cholav, Shelo Ye'arvu Cholav Tomei V'hem Tzfuyin La'inesh Al HaZiyuf, and they're worried about some sort of punishment that they could get for forgery. Yeshmokim loymar, the havi kishvaches achovois, the mirsesleis, something the Ramah talks about. Ukishiyoshe betzado edek shu oimen huraya, that's what the Gemara talks about. Over there it's said the Chazunish that it's going to be mutter. He says, Yeshmokim loymar, he didn't write a Petorus Poisek. Ramosha was answering Shailas, Ramosha was writing a Petorus Poisek, and it's for that reason Ramosha held that it was going to be mutter. Now, one of the follow up questions that they asked Ramosha was a very, very stark question. And that is that it's true that the manufacturers, the companies that actually produce these non-Chol of Yisrael products, so they're governed by the USDA, they have oversight, inspections, etc. So there's a very strong Anan Sahadi, why would they pay the fines? It doesn't make any sense. Nobody likes the Chol of Tameh. It's probably more expensive. They're risking losing their license. If they get caught, they can get shut down. What do they need this for? It's just a nightmare from every side. So Rav Moshe felt that was so compelling that it created an Ansahadi, it blives Ria, it's Chol Yisrael. The problem is, where are they getting their milk from? They were getting their milk from mom and pop farmers. Meaning the end user, the big manufacturers, they don't control the farms. So there were a lot of farms. They had these farms in Yerusha and they would export. They had a few good accounts. They're selling it to some big dairy product maker. But the problem is they didn't have the same oversight. All these svaras and mirsas. Yeah, you think of a company that trades in the New York Stock Exchange. It's not going to risk its license by putting milk of a pig into it. It doesn't make sense. But what about the small mom and pop people? So this was center of Moshe, and it's the third tshuva in a series of three tshuvas. So it's Simen Mem Zayin, Simen Mem Ches, and Simen Mem Tes. And that was the Shaila and Simen Mem Tes. And to answer that, Rav Moshe wrote a very long tshuva, a difficult tshuva. It's a tshuva that's really gebayt on major lumdis in the sugya, where you see a tremendous amount of good. It's a combination of a svara that the only time you have to be concerned about Taruvis of Chol of Tameh is what Rav Moshe referred to as Bol Yad Yisrael, if you want to just sound intelligent, those are the magic words. Once it's Bol Yad Yisrael, and a combination of, even if there's a chash, it would be a miyot, and once there's a miyot, you'd have Bittul Baroi based on a Mati Yonason. But the bottom line is, that was Rav Moshe's Shuvah. I'll just tell you, I saw on the OU's website, so the OU puts Hashkoch on non-Chol of Yisrael products, and they write, they have a disclaimer, and they say that even for those that weren't comfortable with Rav Moshe's second tshuva of Bol Yad Yisrael, today Rav Belsky already, B'shaitoi, he did research and he spoke to people, the metzias had changed. So in Rav Moshe's time, the small farms weren't being inspected. But he says today, every single farm gets inspected 2 to 6 times a year. And if anyone ever, if an inspector or anyone ever was told of there being an animal that's not a cow on the farm, can't have a dog on the farm, a cat. Any animal, they would be shut down. So the bottom line is that the same svaras that Rav Moshe said regarding Anan Sahadi apply today to the small farmers. So they write there that if somebody, you know, whatever, wanted to be machmer because of the Bol Yad Yisrael part of Rav Moshe's tshuva, that's it's non-applicable bezman hazeh anyways. Today it's going to be fine. But lemaisa, so this is Rav Moshe's tshuva. But everyone knows that Rav Moshe wrote Bal Nefesh Yachmer, right? That's the second part of the tshuva. Rav Moshe said Bal Nefesh Yachmer. Rav Moshe says that he himself is machmer, and then he says that if somebody holds its mutter, but he's machmer, it could be he's running into deiraisa issues. The chol of akum is in issa derabanan, but neder is already in issa deiraisa. So Rav Moshe said that if somebody holds its mutter and that is machmer, so then you have to be machmer neder. Then you're running into a whole other set of issues. But I'll just tell you, you know, one interesting thing. You know, obviously there's a lot of anecdotes and everyone has stories about, you know, specifically with regards to, you know, Rav Moshe's own psak, etc., etc., as it relates to specifically this ambiguity that on the one hand, Rav Moshe said it's mutter. On the other hand, Rav Moshe said bal nefesh yachmer. Incidentally, I'll tell you something very, very interesting. Rav Moshe, when he says bal nefesh yachmer, so his lashon is v'gaman avimikom makoyin lebali nefesh min haroy lahachmer ve'ein bazem mishum yuhara. There's no issue of yuhara. There's no element of gaiva. That's unbelievable. Friday, Rabbi Aviv spoke about sherry cask. And Rabbi Moshe wrote another very famous tshuva. It's also in Yeridei Chelek Aleph, Siman Samech Beis, where Rabbi Moshe said that scotch that were stored in sherry casks, or what Rabbi Moshe referred to as blended scotches, where there's a little bit of wine in it, is going to be okay. And there's a grace at Sad Lahachmer. And Rabbi Moshe, there too, wrote a tremendous tshuva where Rabbi Moshe said it's going to be mutter. And Rabbi Moshe says as follows, V'ani, avshani mater, even though I'm mater, nizer ani ba'atzmi milishta is blended. I'm careful, I don't drink blended. Rak, however, b'chabura, you have to see this to believe this. If I'm with a chabura, shaloi lemechzi kiyuara, so that it shouldn't look like yuara, ha'yisi shoyse mashu, I used to drink a little bit, levori chamesubin kenu. To give the oil of Malachayim. He said, I used to drink. So Rav Moshe was matter sherry cask. He wrote the tshuva. And he says about nefesh should be machmer. But at the same time, which is what he writes at the end of the tshuva, but Rav Moshe says, but to me myself, when I sit together with the oilam, it shouldn't look like yura. So he says, I drink with the Amlechaim. You see so much in this Rav Moshe. Number one, you see in Rav Moshe the way he was shekel the chumrah of sherry cask. Number two, you see Rav Moshe's anivus, that Rav Moshe was concerned about a mechsi kiyura. Rav Moshe, mechsi kiyura. But that's the anivus of Rav Moshe as well. But my point is that here Rav Moshe said that there would have been an issue of yura had he been machmer. When it comes to Chol Stam, Rav Moshe writes clearly, the aim is that Mishum Yuara. You have to be Madaik Lashoyne Azov Shal Rav Moshe. So it's two very well-known tshuvas that get quoted. One place Rav Moshe said there isn't an inyan of Yuara, one place he said there's no inyan of Yuara. So I asked Rabbi Aviv, you know, what he thought of Regal Achas, what's the pshat? Why would there be an issue of Yuara when it comes to splendid scotches, and why is there no issue of Yuara when it comes to Chol Stam? So he said, it's very, very simple. He said, the whole idea of Yuara is that I'm holier than thou. I'm taking on this chumrah, v'alich bin, you know, I'm frumer than you. I'm somehow holier than thou. That's what permeates the idea of Yuara. It's a gaifa. So he said that Chol Yisrael was always a chumrah. Chol Yisrael always had the chumrah of Chol Yisrael. So I mean, Chol Yisrael always had the chumrah of Chol Yisrael. Rav Moshe didn't feel that someone that wants to be mocked in a chol, even though Rav Moshe held it is Chol Yisrael. But he did it clear. Rav Moshe, at the end of the day, you want to take on this chumrah, he doesn't feel it's Yuara. But scotch, if you're going to suddenly be the one person that doesn't drink scotch, there's no such messiah not to drink it. Rather now, we found out that there might be a little bit of wine in it, but Rav Moshe was mutter, and being that it's mutter, he said, it's okay. And Rav Moshe said that to be machmer, beina mesubin, already looks like, you know, Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva, and he's going to be machmer, he felt there was a sensitivity, there was an inyan of Mexico Europe. But the emphasis, if you go through Rav Moshe's tshuvas, the question almost begs itself, akert, if Rav Moshe held the chol of companies, b'medina seinu, a chol of Yisrael, then why did Rav Moshe say bal nefesh yachmer? Why talk about nefesh yachmer? So I was discussing this with Rabbi Yaakov Bienenfeld on Thursday, and Rabbi Bienenfeld called me last night, told me he was at a Malava Malka, and he saw Reuven Feinstein. So he went over to Reuven Feinstein, and he told me that, you know, Daf Yomi is learning the sugyas now of Chol of Yisrael, Chol of Stam, and he asked Reuven, he says, you know, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva, and the tshuva was that today, b'mdina seinu was Chol of Yisrael. So if it's Chol of Yisrael, then why did Rav Moshe say bal nefesh yachmer? So first of all, Rav Reuven said that if you would ask my brother Rav David, Rav David says tzorich in gadol. Doesn't know. He doesn't know why Rav Moshe said bal nefesh yachmer. He himself started saying a whole thesis. He said he's given shiurim on it, why he thinks Rav Moshe said bal nefesh yachmer. But either way, Rabbi Bienenfeld was kind enough. He called me and he put me on the phone with Rav Reuven. So I spoke to Rav Reuven Feinstein last night, and this was the shayla going through Rav Moshe's tshuva, and Rav Moshe held that chol of companies b'mdina seinu was motiyet bal nefesh yachmer. So why bal nefesh yachmer? So one thing Rav Reuven said very clearly, that he knows for sure that Rav Moshe did not mean mitzad da'alocha. Meaning mitzad da'alocha, it's poshet that Rav Moshe felt that chol of companies is motir. Bal nefesh yachmer was, he was telling me sometimes you have the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. There was a spirit of the law element. You see, there was yudches dvarim. You know, there were inyonim that were put in place throughout the generations. And based on those sensitivities, there was a Bal Nefesh Yachmer. But it wasn't that Rav Moshe questioned his tshuva for one second. Rav Moshe was 100% comfortable with his tshuva. Rav Moshe felt that Chalof companies B'medina Seinu is not Avodah Zarah L'Menhamed Beis. It's Avodah Zarah L'Metesamed Beis. And it's for that reason it blives Chalof Shechol V'Yakum V'Yisroel Royeyu. And it's for that reason it's going to be Mutter. So we have our in-house correspondent, Dovi, here. So I can either pass the mic over to Dovi, but I'll just tell you two things that Dovi told me. Two things Dovi told me that you have to say. Number one, Dovi told me discussing Rav David many times. Number one, he corroborates what we just said in terms of Tzarechian, in terms of what Rav Moshe meant when he said Bal Nefesh Yachme. He didn't mean it mitzad halacha. And he said, the Rav David said that, you know, Rav Moshe used to write tshuvas al regel achas. People sent him shailas and sometimes even dvarim chamurim. Rav Moshe was just sat down and he wrote. But there were certain tshuvas that Rav Moshe put a disproportionate amount of time in. He put extra koiches into the tshuva because he knew that this was a tshuva l'dairis. And he knew the ramifications, the ripple effect that the tshuva was going to have. And he said one of the tshuvas was Chol Yisrael. And he put a disproportionate amount of time hen into the iyun of the sugya and the halacha and hen into the mitzios. So Rav Moshe spent an enormous amount of time and he thought this through ha-feichba before he wrote the tshuva. This was not a tshuva that was written on al regel achas, and he was 100% comfortable with the tshuva. The other thing that Rav David always says is that you have to realize it's only true in the United States of America. Rav Moshe did not write this tshuva for any area outside of the United States. So as it relates to the United States, where we're governed by USDA, FDA, whoever exactly is governing these plants. So over here, Rav Moshe was comfortable. He wasn't sure about it, and he wasn't comfortable about it. I think there's even a tshuva about something with milk in Toronto. I think in the Gris Moshe somewhere. But the bottom line is that this was Be'ikar Rav Moshe's Mahalach.